Wouldn't 2015 be a good year to start talking to yourself? I throw this out as a suggestion, just in case you're already floundering on the rest of those New Year's resolutions you've made. Well, here's one that's sustainable. Talking to yourself. It's relatively easy to get started, even easier to keep going. And I dare say some here are already expert at it. Yet it's not random muttering and jabbering that I have in mind. It's a talking to yourself that is far more intentional and purposeful. And actually, it isn't my suggestion at all. We find it right here in Psalm 146. See how the writer begins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. Who is the writer talking to? It may surprise us to see that he is talking to himself. All that he is about to say isn't firstly to benefit others. It is directed at his own soul, at his own heart. And this is the instruction. Praise the Lord. Now, praise is about more than following the auto cue. It's far more than giving voice to words as and when they appear on the screen. True praise comes from the depths, from the soul. And our souls need some stirring if they're ever to give rise to it. Who better to give the consistent encouragement than you yourself? You see, I don't know what kind of start you've had to 2015. It's likely to be a year of highs and lows, of celebration and heartache. This year may prove to be your best year, or it may pan out to be your very worst. But one thing I do know, the thing that is going to hold us and anchor us in the coming months, whatever comes our way, is this ability to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. All of us here believe something about the Lord God. You may be certain he exists. You may be just as certain that he doesn't exist. But neither position will do you any good in the complexities of this life if your belief is little more than intellectual assent. You need to move out beyond that into praise. Not only to be able to say things about who the Lord is, but to worship him for who he is. Make it personal. There couldn't be a better time to make a start. And so much of this really does turn on starting to talk to yourself. The writer of this psalm shows us how. When he says, "Praise the Lord, my soul," he doesn't leave it there as some stark instruction. If he did, well, that might elicit from us a short string of something similar to praise. But we'd soon run dry. And our resolve would, well, it would go the same way as with those other resolutions. Instead, what this psalm does is give us the fodder to fuel our praise. And that's what we have here in the verses following. The God who is presented to us is one whose character is worthy of praise. The truths of who he is, what he's like, are here laid out for us to take hold of, to take to heart, to work deep down into our souls. We get to praise him as an overflow of the confidence and the hope we can have in him. Let's see that. Verse 5. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Do you remember Jacob? Jacob was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, the grandson of Abraham. Jacob, let's just say he lived a colorful life. He tricked his older brother out of his inheritance, which meant that Jacob was then on the run as a fugitive from his father's house. He eventually settles down with two wives, one he didn't love, who only made the other one angry. And all the time, this schemer was accumulating wealth through dishonest gain and eventually theft. Where was his trust in life? Largely in himself. Jacob was trying to build a life from the ground up, relying mainly on his own resourcefulness. In short, there was little winsome or attractive about Jacob. He was a selfish, deceitful, treacherous liar. But look at his God. Look at his God. The Lord first appeared to Jacob when he was still that fugitive on the run. The promise he made was to be with Jacob and to watch over him wherever he went. That's quite something. When he appears a second time, the Lord promises to bring Jacob back out of exile into his father's land. Actually, right back into the family he had lost. This is the God who met Jacob while he had nothing, while he deserved nothing, and who then gave him everything. This is the God who is selfless in his pursuit of us, who remains true to his promises and is faithful in his love, even for the unlovable. After all, he saved Jacob. If he could save one such as him, who then would he be unwilling to save? Verse 5, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Indeed, we are blessed to have such a God as our God. You see, this God is none other than the maker of heaven and earth, says the psalm. That speaks of his power and ability. Everything is in his hands. All of that creative power, how is that now put to work in the world around us? Well, the Lord likes nothing better than to exercise this power for the lifting up of the needy, even one as wretched and needy as Jacob. I wonder, our expectations of what God should be doing in this world, do they fit with what he's actually doing? Too often our wrong expectations keep us from seeing how he is at work, and so we mistakenly think that he isn't at work at all. We expect to see God at work among the princes and the power players, those at the top. But there is nothing that pleases the Lord more than to give his all for those at the bottom, the weakest and most vulnerable, those who couldn't possibly offer him anything in return. He who is the maker of heaven and earth, he, verse 6, remains faithful forever. This remaining faithful, the word carries the idea of drawing alongside and standing by. We could read, he stands by me forever. It echoes the promise that this God made to Jacob. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Do we have any confidence in such a promise for ourselves? Again, I don't know what you're facing into today, and I can't know what you'll be facing into in 3 months' time. But are you confident that the Lord will be standing by you in those very circumstances, whatever they are? You can be. You can be. We can all begin to grow in this confidence as we start to remind ourselves again and again of our God's great commitment to us, as we start to praise him because of it. Now, please don't hear me wrong. As I speak of the Lord exercising his hand to save us, of his drawing alongside us in our circumstances, there is every difference between being lifted up in those circumstances and being lifted out of those circumstances. Every difference in the world. God doesn't promise to snatch us away from the troubles and challenges of this life. He didn't for Jacob. But he does promise to stand by us in the midst of them. And though it may take a while to process, that really is the greater promise. Why? Because if we're never without our God, we're never without hope, wherever else we may find ourselves. See then what we can expect the Lord to be doing in our lives as he does stand alongside us. Verse 7. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The oppressed, the hungry, the prisoner, and the blind. The righteous, the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. The first thing to say is, this isn't an exclusive list. Now, you and I may look at a person and feel able to say that he is oppressed. But after then glancing at the next person, on what basis are we sure that she isn't oppressed? After labeling one person as blind, is it so easy to turn to her friend and conclude that he is free from all blindness? That would be to too quickly drive a wedge between the seen and the unseen, between the physical and the spiritual, between the rich and the poor. But there are layers to oppression. There is more than one kind of hunger, and oh, so many ways to be blind. To see that, this is no exclusive list. What qualifies you for inclusion is the recognition of your need. Then this becomes the most inclusive list possible. Having recognized our need, we're here being reminded of the God who comes alongside us in that need. He comes to lift up, to give sight, to feed, to free, to keep a fatherly watch and exercise a father's care. This is the working out of his saving power in each and any life. Friends, this is our God. It's who he promises to be. It's who he shows himself to be, and who he will show himself to be to you and I if we do that truly radical thing. If we start putting our trust in him and looking to him for help. Off the back of this can only flow praise. You see, the writer of this psalm is doing for himself what would make good practice for each of us. He is taking the truths of who God is and working them deep down into his life. Praise the Lord, my soul, in his stance towards us. And because of his commitment to us, this truly is a God worthy of our praise. The God so different to any other. He gives us confidence and hope as we step out into another year. And the writer of this psalm is no innovator in the things he here celebrates about the Lord. He is simply taking other scripture and making it his own. The prophet Isaiah had been preaching in Israel during a time of great uncertainty over what the future held for that nation. The years to come looked bleak. Yet Isaiah had this confidence. The Lord God would remain faithful to his age-old promises. In Isaiah chapter 61, we hear of good news being proclaimed for the poor, of the binding up of the brokenhearted, of freedom for captives, release from darkness, comfort for those who mourn. Only now, Isaiah could see a day when the Lord would set about his saving purposes in a new way. We jump ahead 7 centuries. It's one Sabbath day. Jesus was there at the synagogue in Nazareth. It was before Jesus had set his hand to anything, before he had become a public figure. And there in the synagogue, the book of Isaiah was handed to him. And Jesus quickly located those same verses from chapter 61. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And now Jesus takes this as his manifesto, his mission statement, his job description, if you like. And through the rest of the gospel accounts, these things are exactly what we see him doing: proclaiming, recovering, setting free. This is the maker of heaven and earth, powerfully at work on behalf of the weak and the vulnerable. Again, this is no exclusive list. Jesus doesn't discriminate. We see Jesus eager to meet with any who come to him in their need. The only people who went away empty were those who saw no need of his saving work. Praise the Lord. Praise this Lord who comes to stand by us in our place of need. Only now, it's so much more than that. By standing by us, this is no passing visit. Christmas has been our reminder that in Jesus, the Lord has come to stand with us as one of us. And there's no going back on that. But this Lord has even gone a step further still. From standing by us to standing with us, and then standing in for us. The path Jesus was on was always taking him to the cross. How can the oppressed truly be lifted up? How can the hungry be truly fed, the blind receive their sight, or the orphan be brought home? How is it possible for those who have nothing to be given everything? Only through him who himself was oppressed and went hungry, who himself became a prisoner, an outsider, and an orphan, who was bowed down under a burden not his own, who sunk down into the darkness of death. Now, because Jesus went to the cross, we who had nothing can enter into everything that is his. Such extraordinary love. So, praise the Lord, my soul. Of course, the soul that can praise is firstly one that recognizes its need, its deep need, and readily cries out for help. The soul that then will praise is one which has discovered in Jesus Christ the God who is willing and eager to meet us in our need. One who not only stands by us, but stands in for us in that need. The truth of this ignites praise. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Let's resolve to be talking to ourselves from here on into 2015. The take-home point from this psalm really is that simple. Make it a habit to keep on rehearsing and reminding yourself of the truths laid out for us here, of this God who is faithful to save. As we do that, it will grow our confidence in him and our trust so that we'll be ready for whatever we have to face in the coming months and years. In the highs, we want to be praising. In the lows, we want to go on praising and to praise him no less. All the while secure in the knowledge that the God of Jacob, who has come to stand where we are standing, will most certainly bring us to stand where he is standing forever. Amen.